Welcome to Unshaped Citizen, the show that brings you real stories from real people who have chosen a different path to that which Big Pharma, Big Government, and the mainstream media would like you to take. I am your host, Alan Campbell. I was incredibly privileged this week to speak to Nikki. I met Nikki thanks to the government's approach to the vaccine rollouts, mandates, and general overreach of power. Her story of self-realisation, discovery, and redemption is incredibly powerful. She has amazing grace, humility, and compassion. I'm sure everyone will enjoy her story and our discussion today. No matter what side of the debate you are on, I urge you to listen and reflect on what she has to say. Everything's working all right. Yep. So that's working for me.
Testing, 1, 2.
Yeah, that's working for you. That's great. All right. Shall we start?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Nikki, thanks for joining us here on the show. Really, really pleased to have you. You're a bookkeeper by trade. That's not why we've got you here.
Awesome.
I was interested to read, though, that your passion is the modality of human psychology called the three principles of mind, thought, and consciousness.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to start by telling us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the human dimension, the human experience, you know, we're humans in the flesh. We've got there's a lot of moving parts in life. We've got the five senses, which is, you know, how we interact with the world. And then we've got thinking. And thinking, it's happening all the time. We get pushed around by our thinking. We take a thought and we hold on to that thought, and then it compounds and it creates a reality for us that feels real, but it's not true. So, you know, I might have thinking that I'm not good enough.
Yep.
Been
there.
Yep. So, you know, we have negative thinking, and it impacts our reality and how we see the world and how we see ourselves. So, I'm not good enough. As my thought, I hold on to that. It could be, and what happens is we make our thinking true. So everywhere I go, my thought of I'm not good enough shows up in my reality.
Self-sabotage.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. So that negative thought can really push me around in life, and everywhere, every experience I have, every person I meet, reinforces that thinking. So, you know, you might have someone at work that is belittles you or treats you really badly. So therefore my thinking of I'm not good enough is playing out in my life. Therefore it reinforces what I'm thinking, because I'm seeing it, I'm experiencing it. Other people are showing me that thinking is true and it's real. And the thing with thought is it's very slippery, it's very seductive. So we believe everything, we take our thoughts on as being true and as being real. The only way I can sort of describe it that you might understand is when we have a dream and we wake up and we remember that dream, and it feels so real.
Yep.
But it wasn't real. It was playing out in our mind. And that's what happens in our 3D reality.
Right. So is part of what you do then about effectively reprogramming people?
Yes and no. So, yeah, it's not so much the three principles is technique free. So you don't have to meditate. You don't have to do anything. You just see your thinking for what it is, and it's arbitrary, it's not true, and you observe rather than believing, you know, and it's really just quietening the mind and reconnecting with our universal intelligence, which we've all got flowing through us, and it happens upstream, so it's not out there in front of us, it's back here. So it's before, you know, our senses interpret it as a message. It's happening back there, and it flows through. And yeah, we don't actually have to do anything. We just be, you know, more human beings, less human doings.
Okay, so it's a bit like the lizard brain that Lee Child references.
The reptilian.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, there is a kind of sort of more tangible way of describing how our brain functions and how it's made up. The things with the three principles is that it's not tangible. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Like when you have your insights, like your aha moments, you feel that in your body. Your body reacts to that that moment of clarity. And that's our signal that we're plugged into universal mind.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background then, and I guess how you came on this journey?
Yeah, I might get a little bit emotional because
it's okay.
Yeah, it's quite personal, and I'd love to share it. Yes, I had a traumatic childhood, and I basically all through my teens I hated myself.
Okay.
I got really sick when I was 14, and yeah, I was physically healthy, but I was mentally unhealthy. So you could say I was depressed at the age of 14. I didn't want to be here anymore. So yeah, what happens when we get in that sort of mindset, it manifests in the body as disease or dis-ease, you know, there's something not quite right.
Yep.
So, yeah, I got pneumonia really bad and I nearly died. So, you know, my thinking of...
At 14?
Yep.
Wow.
I was so healthy, you know, playing sport. Yeah, like I said, physically normal, healthy 14-year-old, but mentally just in a really dark place. So, yeah, just got a cold and it escalated into pneumonia and I nearly died. I was in Wellington intensive care for a couple of weeks on a life support breathing for me.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it was full on. I even got a trip in the Westpac chopper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from my hometown to Wellington. So I came through that but then I, you know, that was all good. Got into my 20s. And I still hated myself. I just had no self-love. Like, I couldn't, give myself the respect and love that I deserved.
Do you know why that was? Was there a trigger for that, or was there?
Yeah, it's because my mum died when I was 4, and okay. That was extremely traumatic.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I can't, because...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's you know, you think at the time, okay, a parent dies, but not being able to grieve properly, holding on to so much emotion, like confused. My dad didn't really want to talk about it.
Yep.
He remarried a lady who had a lot of issues, and, yeah, there was abuse in our home, and no love.
Okay.
You know, like when you're... can't remember the guy's name now, but he talks about childhood trauma, and there's a name for it when your parents are present, but they're not present as
right.
in, you know, emotional support.
Yep.
Dad was kind of closed off to it all, and my stepmom, yeah, she obviously had trauma and abuse when she was young, and she didn't love herself, so she couldn't give us love. And so, yeah, I went into my adulthood not knowing what love really was. So, yeah, that was the reason for that. But, yeah, got into drugs big time in my 20s. And then after that it was alcohol, and I was an alcoholic for 10 years.
All right, okay.
Age 30 to 40, yep.
Yep.
Just so damaging, like real, real highs and real, real lows,
yep.
Very emotional. I gained a lot of weight. So, again, my thinking of I'm not lovable, I think, was my thought process.
Yep.
Interestingly, I met my partner of 21 years now when I was in my 20s, and he gave me, like, unconditional love.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. He was like a gift.
Yep.
To show me what real love was, and we're still together, and I love him dearly. And yep. I was a mess for a good chunk of our relationship, but he stood by me, and he believed in me, and he loved me. So I got off the booze. I quit cold turkey.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure I could do that.
Yeah. It's funny talking to people. People are really interested in my story. People are really supportive. My life completely changed when I stopped the booze. Because it was really bad. You know, I was at home by myself working, and I'd start day drinking, you know, just right. by myself. So it was a real abusive sort of thing with booze. But, man, yeah, my life just completely changed when I ditched that. I started to...
Yeah, so how old were you when you stopped drinking?
It was 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I was 42. No, I was 41. I'm 45 now.
Do you want me to edit that bit?
But you know what, Alan? I'm 45 and I feel the best I've ever felt my entire life, even, you know, my 20s, because I was so mentally unstable. And now life is a gift.
Fantastic.
And thriving. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
So what was the trigger and what gave you the strength to quit alcohol cold turkey?
I think I just realised I got to a point where I knew I couldn't carry on. It was destroying me. And, you know, my daughter, yeah, we've got one child, and she's just beautiful. Like, she's so nurturing and caring and loving. And sometimes I felt like she was the parent and I was the child. You know, when you've got unresolved trauma, you're very childlike. You need constant propping up. And she'd hug me all the time. And, I just thought, I want to be the best mum I can for her, and I want to give her the life that I didn't have. So, the inspiration was first look after myself. I need to get myself right and face my trauma, because that part felt like it was too scary. And it's amazing how booze numbs you, you know, like yep. It takes away all your worries, all your things. So what is that? Well, that's your thinking. You completely switch off to all of life's strains and stuff. So, yeah, the inspiration was, I wanted to deal with my stuff, and then I wanted to be the best mum and the best partner for my man as well.
Right. And how old's your daughter?
She's 15 now.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, and she's just like, I'm so glad you gave up alcohol, mum.
Yeah.
So she could see that it was a problem.
Yeah, it's amazing what they understand and pick up on, even at a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what led you to down the, when did you start down the mindfulness path or the understanding the human brain?
Well, funny enough, I changed my doctor to a holistic clinic, and the GP I saw had been on this course, and at the time I was a full-on alcoholic, and we had a session, maybe an hour and a half together, where she was not just looking at my symptoms, you know, because my bloods weren't good and, all those things that come with alcohol abuse, but we talked about the emotional side and you know, why I was drinking and stuff like that, and she's like, oh, I've just been on this course, it would be perfect for you, I'm sure you get a lot out of it. And went away and I kind of looked it up, and it was quite expensive, and I was like, oh nah, you know, made an excuse of why I couldn't attend. So went through my journey of giving up booze, and then I thought, I'm going to look that course up again. So I did, and I went on it. It was a 3-day course, and I found after I gave up alcohol, I was really anxious. I had anxiety, shaking and just, not really like a fully functioning adult would be. You know, still going detoxing and going through all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I did the 3-day course and I just felt, I mean, I can't even say what happened. It's kind of hard to describe, but all my overthinking melted away. I just felt so good. Like, you can't describe how amazing I felt. And then I was having these insights, you know, which is our guidance to life, you know. Like, I reflected on my childhood and I had an insight that it was just an experience. Like, I kept holding on to it, you know, poor me, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But it's really all those past experiences are just that. They've been and gone, and the only moment that really matters is right now. And even, you know, our thinking takes us into the future. Well, that's, you know, pointless because we don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, just really grounded me and really balanced me. And when that happened, my life started changing. Just things started to fall into place without me having to control it. And that's the beauty of our intelligence. Like, we can fully surrender to the universe or source or God, you know, whatever you want to call it. And we're taken care of in the most loving, beautiful, graceful way. So, yeah, my overthinking stopped and I just relaxed into life, and things just started unfolding, like, perfectly.
So is that partly a recognition that your past doesn't define you?
Yes. Yep. Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's not me.
Yeah.
It's just an experience I went through.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you grew up in New Zealand?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, born in Wellington and grew up in the Wairarapa.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
Farm or?
No, we were suburbia.
Right, okay.
It is a big farming community.
It is indeed, yep.
And my parents are still there. I've got a 98-year-old granddad. That's
oh, wow, 98.
He's living independently by himself.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Like, he's a real marvel. And then I've got another 98-year-old granddad in Kapiti Coast, so out on the west coast, Paraparaumu.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. And yeah. Siblings?
Yeah, I've got an older brother. He went through his dealing with his trauma as well, because it was hard for him too.
Yeah.
We're not super close, but it's kind of like we understand each other, and we don't really need to say a lot of stuff, but we just know. And he went through his process.
Yep.
I don't know if he abused alcohol like I did, but he definitely went through a process of like hating the world like I did.
Oh.
And I didn't talk to my dad for 5 years because he, you know, I saw that he didn't protect us, but he was just doing his best, you know.
Yeah, it's, I think, hard. Especially that generation, not particularly emotionally available from my experience.
That's right, you're pretty closed book, like we never really laid out how we felt on the table.
Yep.
But then I had the support of my grandmother, who was my mum's mum. And we spent a lot of time there, and I got love from her and my granddad. My granddad is still alive. So I'm not quite sure, you know, how it would have been without, you know, having that little bit of love that I needed, that I desperately looked for. But the two people that I needed it from, I didn't get it from.
No.
But, you know, I love my dad dearly, and we are super close now. And he understands that things were tough, and I mean, I just can't imagine what it's like be like for him. I put myself in his shoes.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, his past doesn't define him either. So
that's right.
Yeah,
we can only look to where we are now.
Yep.
So yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that. That's an amazing story. So, slightly different topic. Obviously, I'm quite curious. I mean, you're obviously not in favour of vaccines. And let's just put the COVID one aside for the moment. But I guess a lot of people will be wondering, you know, abused alcohol, drugs, but you don't want vaccines. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and how you got to that?
Yeah, what's going on there? So vaccine awareness started when our daughter was born in 2006. And, yeah, we were both pro-vaccine. I took her to her six-week jabs. And I just remember getting her home, Ellen, and she was just lethargic and not really herself. And I had an aha moment. I had an insight, and it was something doesn't feel right. So I thought, I'm just going to see if I can find some information on this, because, you know, we had no information. And, you know, this is in 2006, so before social media was big and massive, and you could find basically anything, you know, on those platforms. Yep. So it was before then. So I had to do quite a bit of digging, but I found a website that gave impartial information, and we looked. There was just three things for us. It was one, the efficacy, how well it worked against preventing illness and disease. The next thing was the ingredients, and we looked at those, and there's some strange things that go into vaccines. And then the third thing was the side effects, and, you know, something that's supposed to promote health that has a listed side effect of death and or crippling you was a massive red flag for us. We're just like, So we looked at those three things, and then we decided together that we wouldn't do any more vaccines in our family. And, yeah, our daughter's, she's healthy. She gets the usual snivels, and she had chicken pox when she was four from her kindy. But I just
survived.
Yeah, amazingly. Yeah, we just nursed her through it. I did complete holistic health for her, and same for myself. I last allopathic medicine I took was like 12 years ago, so I'm completely holistic.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, it's I love it. I don't even have a GP. At the moment, I'm my own doctor.
You can write yourself an exemption.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And it's certainly something that both my wife and I wish we'd looked at closer, because obviously all our children got vaccinated.
Mm.
But when you look back and see some things that have happened to them since, you can kind of point at that and go, yeah, it's potentially something in that. So
yeah,
it does certainly make you wonder.
Mm.
So fast forwarding to the back end of 2019 and early 2020, when the whole COVID pandemic was kicking off, what were your initial thoughts around that?
Oh, wow. I'll try and keep it short and light and breezy. I started looking at how society operates and who's pulling the strings and all of that, how governments work, and, you know, these rich bankers and you know, oil people that have got the most wealth in the world. Started looking at it about 5 or 6 years ago. So I knew the structure of society, and I know, you know, who's pulling what strings and stuff like that. So when COVID came, it wasn't a great surprise to me.
Okay.
I'm in groups where we talk about this all the time, and yeah, you just look at the whole way society is set up, and the government, you know, they fleece us of our money, they oppress us, we're a useful commodity if we're sick and diseased. You know, Big Pharma makes a lot of money from and we're never encouraged to be our best. You know, it's a stark contrast to this, you know, this journey and this understanding of how the mind works, where we're, you know, that supports and encourages, you know, people to thrive, whereas the government is the complete opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, in a sense, you were waiting for it to happen, or something to happen.
Yeah, totally. Yep. It wasn't a shock. So from the get-go, I wasn't concerned about the virus. a lot of people were, and I understand that there was a lot of worry and concern about that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fear. I mean, I'm not a particularly fearful person, but it strikes me that some people are afraid of shadows, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, and I just wonder if that's part of the human condition where we lack the confidence, in our rite of passage from child to adult. You know, well, I'm using me as an example. I was still in my child mind at the age of 42. You know, I was still not fully mature. So, yeah, like a person that is autonomous and takes full responsibility and can self-determine and self-regulate doesn't need an external so-called authority to tell them what to do.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I mean, because I know from my own background, I was sort of put in charge of a group of young kids at a fairly young age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to grow up and be responsible quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I've also read a lot of history, particularly stuff around the war.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see young 19, 20-year-olds in charge of, 200-300 people, where people are losing their lives every day, they grow up pretty quick, and I think that teaches them not to be afraid of everything and puts a sense of perspective on it.
Yeah.
And I think this, at the moment, I don't think we have that perspective where everyone lives in such an area where everything is safe and we try and reduce and minimise and mitigate every risk that there is.
Mm.
So there's no sense of perspective around what's safe and what's not. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
that's right, eh? And that's... I think that's disconnect from who we really are. So when we're fully in tune with, ourselves, especially our body, then we can sort ourselves out. We know when we're sick. We know when we need something. We know when our mind is wandering off into a dark place. We can observe and we can recognize that.
Yep.
But if you're not in touch with your what you are and who you are and stuff like that, and you're kind of numb and switched off, and you're in this humdrum of the 9-to-5 job, and you don't like your job, and you're coming home and you're exhausted, and you have a drink because you want to.
And maybe we shouldn't go there. So you mentioned the money side of it, and I mean, I guess one of the clear things is there's no money in wellness, really. There's no money in people being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite easy today to find, I guess, those links between the pharmaceutical companies and the CDC and all the other organisations that seem to control public policy.
Mm.
Back then, in sort of 2006, how did you find that information?
Well, it was a work in progress, so I didn't step into that straight away. We made the choice on the vaccines, but I was still taking my daughter to the doctor if she got a cough or something. We were doing allopathic medicine probably until she was about 6 or 7. And then, I obviously had another aha moment. And I also had amazing friends around me that were on this journey as well, so we could share information. So I would say in the first stages, it was more a group of mates where we were looking at the same stuff and sharing our findings rather than, sort of going online and doing all that sort of thing. But that came eventually, as well.
Right.
But, it's really nice to have that support. And, in fact, I've got two best friends. They both live in Kerikeri. And one of them, she had a drinking issue as well. And she was inspired by me. And she quit booze 3 weeks after I did.
Wow.
So we went on this amazing journey together, sharing what it was like. And it was just... Yeah, so awesome to share that with her, and we've been friends for over 20 years. So
that's fantastic.
It was cool, and now she's a self-sabotage coach.
Oh, okay.
She's helping people, and because she's been in their shoes, and especially mums that are struggling with booze. So if anyone, I'm doing a little plug for her now.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, Meredith Wyness. Yeah, look her up on Facebook. She's got her business page there. But she's a true inspiration to me as well.
Okay, thank you. That's absolutely awesome. So vaccine trials, the what was it? Operation Warp Speed. Were you excited when President Trump announced Operation Warp Speed? Probably not, I'd imagine.
I won't go into the Trump thing. I looked at him with interest and curiosity. I'm not really big on looking, I'm not sort of immersing myself with what's happening overseas to a great extent, although I probably should be because what's going on over there is heading our way.
Mm-hmm, certainly is.
I think there's a few countries that are rolling out this a bit faster than us. So, to be honest, Alan, the way I see life is we are our own, we should be able to self-govern, you know, like as far as a corporate entity goes, i.e. the government and us willingly giving over our autonomy to be ruled over and told what to do, like little children, I'm completely against all of that. You know, we can collaborate and we can join together and work out who's good at what. And, yeah, you know, like people say, oh, but you still need rules. And I'm like, okay, road rules, it's common sense. I'm not saying I'm going to be an anarchist and be reckless and be stupid. I'm going to use common sense. And, yes, there are some rules that we need to abide by so that we can coexist in harmony.
Yep, the limits of society. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. But as far as oppression goes and, you know, we're paying all this tax and we're just, you know, barely surviving on the hamster wheel of life and we're exhausted, I think there's much more to life than that. So, yeah, as far as any supposed authority, we can self-manage and help each other as well. Like, that's my whole thing is look after yourself first and then you can be of service to other people in the best way possible. But you need to, get your own house in order and then you can offer something.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think one of the key things for me is you're not free unless you can say no.
Yes.
So saying no is a very powerful word.
Yeah.
It's the time we started using it. So how has the approach that you've taken impacted your relationships, impacted your employment? What's happened to you?
Which approach?
Really around the COVID-19 vaccine now, because, I mean, that's where we're at. Obviously, that's where all of the media attention is at the moment.
Yes. Well, I am self-employed and I do contract, so I've got a little bit of leverage, which I'm grateful for. And, yeah, there are some challenges at work. I haven't they're not impacting me as of yet. I've got a couple of clients that do believe in the COVID injection and all of the narrative that comes with that, but we've got a mutual respect. So, you know,
it's a good place to start.
It is, Alan. And, you know, this is where I would like to be with people. It's not about telling someone what to do because I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for myself. And what they're choosing to do for them is not working for me. So my decision doesn't impact on them at all. But for some reason, they think it does. See, there's that thought again. They believe something because, you know, of the media or what their family have said or something. So a lot of people's thinking isn't even their own thinking. It's it comes from other places.
It's a good way of looking at it, actually. I hadn't really considered that.
Yeah. So we're told this stuff and then we take it on as being true without doing any due diligence on it or any pause and reflect. And even, you know, something doesn't feel right, which you know, is our instinct and our gut feel, we shouldn't investigate that further.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I guess for a lot of people, the problem is that they don't hear any of the negative stories at all because the media is so wound up in pushing the vaccines and pushing that government narrative that for a lot of people, I don't think, unless they're actually looking for it or they get told it, you're not going to accidentally stumble across any adverse reaction stories, I wouldn't think.
No, you're not, I guess. So you're kind of in this one dimension of information. But, you know, going back to how the mind works and our ability to connect to our intelligence, you know, we feel things, you know, something doesn't feel right. I'm doing this, but it doesn't feel right. If you just listen to that small voice and maybe, acknowledge it and think, you know, well, I might go and talk to someone else or I might jump online. Even that is pretty awesome.
So why do we think that, well, I'm making a guess, but there's an awfully high percentage of the population that doesn't either acknowledge or recognize that warning or that question, and they just go along with. Do you have a thought on why that might be?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually, Alan. We dismiss it because we are not trained or programmed to listen to it. We don't trust it. But honestly, I trust myself so much more than I ever used to. And the more you listen to that voice, the more you realize that it's not lying. It's giving you honest truth, and it's so meaningful because it's your truth. You can't get any more, you know, clearer or beautiful than that. And in our makeup, in our, you know, what we embody and who we are, we have all these wonderful qualities and capacities available 24/7, you know, love, care, compassion, empathy, grace. It's all there inside of us.
So this might be a slightly confronting question, but if there was a new virus that came out that was deadly or was particularly dangerous, and, you know, putting aside all of the, you know, if it was actually a really dangerous virus, I'm not quite sure how you'd prove that, but if it was, and there was a vaccine for it, would you take it? Is there anything that would convince you to take a vaccine?
No.
No? Okay. That's
fine. Because I just trust my intrinsic, immune system.
Yep.
Over anything, but that's what we were born with, and God, Creator, Source, whoever designed this for us, they know exactly what they're doing. So I'm not going to mess with that.
Yep, well, it's done well for most people for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So, is there anything you'd like to say to people that say, you know, stop being lazy, stop being stupid, just take the bloody vaccine?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I don't like giving people advice. There's helpful advice, you know, if you're setting up a business, there's practical advice, then there's worldly and life advice. The best way to navigate your way through this is to connect to yourself. And that innate wisdom that we've all got running through our body. Even people that take this vaccine, they're doing what is best for them. It's not for me to judge. It's not for me to condemn. Obviously, family and friends that do, I'm concerned for them, absolutely. It's not that I don't care. I do care, but it's not for me to tell them what to do, because that makes me no different to any government authority. People just need to learn to reconnect to who they are and trust themselves, like I've learned to trust myself. So, yeah, it's devastating that we're going through this experience as a collective. It breaks my heart. I don't have all the answers to that, Alan, but yeah, just people just know that they're enough, and know that they're loved, and know that they're worthy, as I think my kind of takeaway thing to say for people.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Like, I'm probably slightly get to a similar outcome, but in a different way. My view is you can't save everyone.
Yes.
So some people are going to make decisions that are just bad, and they're going to pay the consequences for those.
Mm.
But I guess for me, it's I just wish people would do a little bit more research than watching TV1, TV3, or whatever happens on be on their Facebook newsfeed.
Mm.
So
yeah, because we're ultimately caring, and yeah, we want the best for people. But again, what I think is the best for someone might not suit them, you know. And I sort of want to say to people that think that injecting yourself with a cocktail of whatever into your bloodstream and that's going to fix the problem, well, I flip it and say, well, you know, my lifestyle, I do this and this, and it's serving me really well. Would you be prepared to take on what I do in your life? And you know, they're probably like, no, but they're not. So you know, it's a moot point. You know, like, I wouldn't expect you to do what I'm doing, because what I'm doing works really well for me, and I would, you know, hope that they could see it from their angle as well. Like,
yeah,
injecting myself is not working, is not going to work for me.
Yeah, it's a very strange time when there's only one solution for the problem.
Yeah, yeah. So what's that all about?
Yeah.
It's like, man, oh man.
exactly. So just a couple more questions, because this has gone longer than we thought. Sorry, which has been, Alan. No, it's been fantastic, thank you. So is there anything that I haven't asked that I should have asked?
No, you asked amazing questions, and I had no idea you were going to go into the mindfulness, so that's awesome, because it's one of my favorite subjects.
Great.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my my journey with you, because and the listeners, because we can learn so much from each other, and we can inspire each other, and we can be here for each other and look after each other. So yeah, if this goes a little way to helping someone, then I feel humbled and honoured.
Great. Now, I really appreciate you being here, but I do have one last question before I let you go.
Yeah.
If you wrote a book, what would the title be?
Oh, gosh. It would probably be You Are Enough.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I really like that.
Yay.
Yeah, cool. Well, Nikki, thank you very much. Really appreciate the time. It's been a fantastic discussion.
Yes.
And I'm sure we'll catch up again.
Thanks, Alan.
Cool. Thank you. Well, if you're like me, the only disappointing part of that discussion was that there was so much more that we could have talked about. Please subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're on to make sure you don't miss an episode. If you have any questions or comments or would like to tell your story, you can reach me at admin@unjabbedcitizen.com. Until next week.